starting actually at verse 21 on through verse 31. And this is God's Word. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely they are planted, scarcely sown, and scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when He blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like Him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that is the good word of the Lord. Frustration comes often when something is urgent in our life and it is not immediately remedied. We become at a loss of what to say, and certainly our conduct and our speech doesn't always match our profession of faith. We might fall into the frustration of saying, This is it, I've had it. And maybe you've been there. This has been long enough. And you've said, maybe not in these words, but maybe you thought it. If God is not going to do something, I'm going to do something. And I'm going to take whatever measures have to be taken to remedy my urgent trial and circumstance and situation. I'll make my own way through the trouble. I will do what needs to be done without Him. We have a hard time waiting. In fact, it's just part of our vocabulary, right? I mean, we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, we can't wait for vacation. We can't wait for vacation. We can. But we feel like we can't wait for it to happen. We can't wait maybe for that other person to get what they deserve, we think in our hearts. We can't wait until I have a job because I've been without one for a while. Can't wait to get my license. Can't wait to turn 18. Can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. All those things that seem urgent. I can't wait to retire. Actually, I can. But that's just a general thing. Some people say, right? But there is a place where our urgency collides with the providence of God. That is our sense that things can't go on any longer this way, in the fact that God in His providence says they are. They are going to go on this way. In fact, in His providence, it may be a while before things get straightened out. We find ourselves at the loss of understanding His timing. Isaiah talks about it. When our sense of urgency conflicts with God's timing, we need to learn to wait. When our sense of urgency conflicts, crashes up against, comes headlong, face planted into it, we need to learn to wait. Because it happens a lot. Let's look first of all at ourselves and our first point this morning. And you can look along in your insert, which has a has the points there, and you can fill in the blanks if you wish. When things get urgent, we tend to hurry. Verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God? There's a sense of urgency there, isn't there? It's a conclusion arrived at, not after a few days. Right? You don't come to that conclusion that you see here in verse 27 after, you know, saying, you know what, it's been 2 days now, and I haven't seen a resolution to this matter, and that's it, I've had it. Usually it's maybe a few weeks, maybe it drags on to months. Maybe you're particularly good at waiting, and it goes on for a little while, and then. There's a conclusion that you may come to. And the Israelites had come to this conclusion. They had come to the conclusion that God somehow is missing things. He hasn't seen what I've been going through. That has to be the answer, because He has not fixed it. God must be blind to the fact that I'm unemployed. Doesn't He see? You know, unemployment only lasts so long and it only covers so much. I'm behind in my life. Doesn't He see that? And the conclusion they had over some time was, my way is hidden from the Lord. Ever felt that way? It's urgent. And this is urgent. Or, my rights are trampled upon. I'm wrongly dismissed from my job. Or I'm wrongly hated by my neighbor. I don't know why they think this way about me. I don't know. And God, well, my rights are disregarded. He doesn't care for justice for me. He doesn't care for what ought to be in my life. He doesn't care that something wrong is being perpetrated against me, and because he hasn't done anything. There's that deep sense of urgency. Much time may pass in yours. It may be an illness where a lot of time has passed. It may be a matter of the heart and just broken spirit. And I've gone and I've gotten counsel. I've done all this and here I am, and I'm still coming up against this hard, immovable object that is God's providence. Because God doesn't stray from His plan and from His will. They are unmanageable difficulties that we find to be really, really urgent. Now, this is not even to get into things that really aren't urgent. These are things that really we feel the weight of them. These aren't small things. If they're small things that really aren't, and that's another issue, another sermon. But these are things that really are hard on God's people. And you may be tempted to reach similar conclusions. And maybe you've not said the words, but maybe you've stopped hoping. Maybe you've said, you know what, there's no use in praying about it anymore. There's no use in even talking to God about it anymore. Because the sky is just like a hard, hard steel separating me from Him, and He doesn't hear anyway, and He doesn't know. And maybe you even think, maybe He doesn't care. And maybe you've come to the point where this is the last straw. That's the kind of statement this is, isn't it, when you look at that? It's the last straw. You only say that when it's the last straw. I mean, you don't start out with praying to God about something that is urgent and say, okay, Lord, you know what? I don't think You hear me. And I don't think You're going to do anything about this. You don't usually start out there, do you? I mean, usually there's some time of prayer and trusting for the believer. But then there's something that we call the last straw. The 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, a year, and you're still sick. You're still downcast. You're still wrestling. And you come to the conclusion, He's just not going to do anything about it. You see that urgency here, but you also see the disappointment in God's perceived inaction. The situation is not one where they would have expected God not to hear, where they would have expected God not to do something about it. Right? This urgency in the very time of prayer beforehand comes with this expectation that God is a God who hears. But it's been so long we've come to the conclusion that He hasn't. God is a God who acts, who cares about righteousness. God is a God of justice, so we expect Him to do something. And He doesn't. It's disappointment. The right is always to be maintained by God, isn't it? Well, those situations can leave us searching for options. Now, what do we do? Because we have to do something, right? We have to do something because we're not waiting at this point. Some, it is just resignation. Even youth shall faint and grow weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. That's the ordinary end to a strength that is expected to last. I can't go on. Because after all, even a healthy, vibrant young man is gonna forever over time is gonna wear out. He's just gonna faint. I mean that happens, and I can't go on anymore, so I'm just gonna resign myself, and I'm just gonna faint. Because after all, that happens, right? I mean, we see that. Even young men fall exhausted. You know, those young athletes in high school or college, they seem they can run on forever. But it gets to the point where they fall down exhausted. They get worn out, and I'm at that point, and I just resign. And there's no more strength. I give up. I mean, a sick person can only handle it for so long. Even a healthy person gets worn out. A parent is overwhelmed. The parent gets to the point where, I'm a parent, I'm an adult, but I'm at a point with my kids where I'm just, I just resigned that nothing's going to happen with this. Or, instead of resignation, you take matters into your own hands. We read Psalm 37 in our responsive reading, where the psalmist gives a warning. Verse 8, he says, "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil." You know what that means? He says, when you take things into your own hands, when you look at the person who's conceiving evil and carrying out evil, you want to do something. I'm going to do this, and I'm doing it in my own strength. And he says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. When you take things into your own hands. When you've gotten to that point, when you are see the urgency and you've come up against the providence of God and it's not moving, you say, well, I will move things on my own with my own strength, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to take that person and I'm going to embarrass them. Or I'm going to take my children and I'm going to be harsh. If God's not going to do anything about it, I'm going to put them in their place, and I'm going to do it in my own strength. I'm not even going to pray about it before I do it. I'm just going to do it, and it's things that come out. Paul to the Romans again speaks of this sort of thing when we take matters into our own hands, because they're urgent. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But who doesn't love those old vengeance movies, whether it's Clint Eastwood or Bronson? Yeah, Charles Bronson, right? I mean, there's someone, this happened, and what do? You know, they go behind the law and they start doing things. They start killing people left and right. They start bursting into the mobster's office and they start shooting and everything else. And they're the hero and everything's great. And God says, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. That doesn't mean God hasn't given to our civil authorities the responsibility of justice. It says, vengeance is mine. If you've gotten to the point in your life when you say, well, God's not going to do anything, so I'm going to do it myself, He says, no, you don't do that. Leave it to the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. We get in a hurry. We want things done. We want things taken care of. And Isaiah 40 isn't looking at small things. These are real things. And we're just talking about the real things that are urgent in your life, that over time you've been worn down. Maybe you don't feel like you're in a big hurry when you take things into your own hands. Maybe you don't think you're in a hurry when you say the time of deliverance is past and I give up. That now or never kind of feeling you have can get you into trouble. It is a fretting that tends only to evil. So what do we do? What would God's Word have us do? First of all, we need to know the Lord is master of time and space. The Lord is master of time and space. Verses 21 through 26 and verse 28 tell us magnificently about the God of time and space. We usually live, us, you and I, in our own sense of time. And we are very much unlike those special forces guys. Before they do anything, what do? They synchronize their watches so everyone's on. My sense of timing is not the same as anyone else's in my family. And yours is probably not the sense of timing is not like anyone else's yours. Right? Some people, it takes exactly 5 minutes and 37 seconds to get to church. Right? So boom. And others are like, yeah, but it takes 10 minutes once I get there to get my head in the game. So I need to, on time means being 10 minutes early for some of you. We have our own sense of what is proper timing. But the long-term parts of life, long waiting, things like that, when we're undergoing sickness, unemployment, day-to-day things that have been happening over and over and we're lingering in it, that time, we have our own sense of timing too. And the timing is, this is way past due. This is way past due in our sense. The only thing we know is now. God's point of view is perfect. His timing is perfect. Let's look first at His point of view. Verse 22. It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He has this perfect point of view. Here's God, and the image is given of Him. He's created, and He set everything below Him. Right? Not in the sense that it's so small that He cannot see it, but that it is so open to His sight that He can. He created the world, He created the universe, and He sets it down so He sees everything. It's a picture of His omniscience. That's this God, the God of providence who we come in running into with our urgency, that are really urgent. I'm not playing down that they are real situations and circumstances that are hard. So we come up and we run into a God whose point of view is perfect. Nothing is missing and nothing is hidden to Him. His plan is irresistible. Verses 23 and 24. He brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when He blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. They're princes of the earth. Dig their feet in. They say, here I am and you cannot move me from my throne. You cannot move me from my empire. You cannot take any part of it. I am a ruler of the earth. And God says, they do. And it's in its own timing, and His timing is laid out. As far as God's concerned, they've just shown up. And they're gone. His plan is irresistible. The seasons He has in store for the rise and fall of rulers and nations happens without any hindrance to His plan. He just does it. His precision is matchless, 25 and 26. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like Him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. All right, so you lift up your eyes on high and the night sky, and what do you see? Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. That's precision. He sets the stars in the heavens. And you go out at night and you look.
and you look, and there are, just from your visibility, at this perspective, in this hemisphere, you see them all, millions and millions, and all of them in the sky. And He knows them all by name. And because of His great power, not one of them is missing. You might miss one, but not one of them is missing. This is the God whose providence we come into contact with in our urgency that lingers. That's a matchless precision. His power is unending, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Nothing exhausts Him. We're exhausted. We're tired. The urgency has worn us down. We are faint. We are frail. And He's not. He who neither slumbers nor sleeps, He doesn't get tired. It's not as if in all this time of your urgency, God has somehow lost interest. And all of these things, what Isaiah is describing is not just rule. It is rule, but it's not just that. It's not just a matter of saying God's in charge. We say that all the time when we know that God's in charge. But God's in charge. But Isaiah means more than just what those limited words say, and perhaps we intend in our hearts to say more than that, but by God is in charge. It is not even just brute strength, though He's all-powerful. He can do all His holy will. He is strong. It is not merely legitimate authority, though all authority does belong to Him. You know what this describes? It describes mastery. Not just power. Not just innate ability. Not just precision for precision's sake. As if you could draft the universe on a table and write it, and He has this straight edge and all that, and He just boards, boom. It's mastery. It's perfection of planning. It's glorious ends to which he directs all things to a particular end for His own glory. And He's masterful at it. He's not just strong. Yeah, He is. He's a master at what He does with His power. He's masterful in His precision. He's masterful in how He uses His point of view. He's not just watching. God is watching. Oh, no. What He does with what He sees is brilliant. What He does with what He sees and what He understands and how what He sees going on, what He does with that is genius. He's a master. The God of providence, up against which your urgency and your difficulties over long periods of time, when you feel you would just either resign and resignate yourself to this nothing happening or going about your own strength and doing something, the one you're coming up against is a master planner. He's brilliant and a genius. Everything in creation is where He wants it to be right now. All the stars of heaven are where they are right now because it's exactly where He wants them to be. Where you are right now is exactly where He wants you to be in His providential care for you. Even in the urgency, even in the sickness, even in things that aren't fixed over weeks and months and years. There are no stray stars, no hidden creature, no surprising trouble among us. And because God is who He is, there is no place we have to judge Him. There's no place we have to judge Him. There's no place we have to say, what have you done? My way is hidden to you, and my right you have not maintained. So where does that leave us if we can't take things into our own hands? Where does that leave us if we just can't quit? If we just can't say, well, just forget about it. Finally, those who wait for the Lord find strength to endure. Our sense of urgency runs into God's providence and He doesn't budge. So what do? We wait. We wait. And the God who doesn't budge from His plan gives us strength as we are weighed down in our urgency. The strength He gives is extraordinary, verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. It's extraordinary. That is, it's not from us. It's not our own strength that gets us through. Because if we're faint, we're faint. If we have no might, we have no might. It's just that describes us so often. We have no strength, we have no might, we have nothing to go on, no gas in the tank. Compare that with verse 30. Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. That's ordinary. That's ordinary. But to the saint who waits, He gives power to them, to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. To those who wait, those who wait for the Lord, who are in that place of tension between their urgency and God's providence, He gives strength. Rather than resigning themselves, they wait. Rather than trying to take control, they trust this God whose providence they have come headlong into. And so they endure even what is urgent and continually so in their lives. To wait is to see the urgence in the light of the providence, not against it. You see, when not waiting, our urgency comes and we crash against God's providence. We run against it as an immovable object that we need to somehow go around. Right? That's what when we run against this, that's what we're trying to do. I got to make some way to ignore it, say it doesn't matter, I don't care, resign myself, or fight my way around. But to wait on the Lord is to see our urgency coming up and finding the light of God's providence. To focus on the expectation that God does know what we are going through and He does care about justice. Waiting is an active posture, not a passive one. It looks and looks and looks. It keeps an eye on the God of providence and waits. Because we know who He is and we know He is a master. And this is urgent, and His providence at this point, it is immovable. He has not moved to show a resolution to my situation. But the God up to whom I have come and upon whom I wait is a God who is a master at the things that are urgent to me. He's a master at dealing with them. He's a master at comforting. He's a master of bringing things to a good end and conclusion in His own purpose, even if that purpose and that timing is when we slip into eternity. He's a master, so we wait. See the difference? It's not this kind of thing, watching your watch and tapping your feet. Urgency is submitted to the God of providence. That's what it means to wait. Life with all its troubles and trials go on. The urgency is there. Look at the verses. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles sometimes seem to fly effortlessly, right? I mean, we know there's a mechanics, thermodynamics that has to do with how their wings, God created their wings, and how they can seem to soar. And even when their wings get tired, they seem to still be held up. They seem to still be able to go miles and miles and miles. Just soaring. But look at the end of that verse. They shall run. They shall walk. It's still the urgency. Your life goes on. Day by day, you're still wrestling with those things. Day by day, that the sickness may be there. Day by day, you're still waiting for a job. Day by day, you're still oppressed. Day by day, it may still happen. You're still running, you're still walking, but look what doesn't happen. You'll run. But you won't be weary. You're going to walk, but you're not going to faint. Because He won't let you. Because you're waiting on Him. You're waiting on Him. You've submitted it. You've come, you know who He is. Psalm 37, verse 7. Before the warning about taking charge in your own strength, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We're waiting now, all of us together, because life is urgent. The troubles of this world are urgent, and we are waiting for the coming of Christ. All these things, we are waiting for the coming of Christ. We know God's providence is perfect, His timing, His perspective, everything, His precision, it is all right. And when Christ comes, it will be the absolute perfect right time. But right now, we are waiting. The urgency and difficulties of our lives are resting in the God of providence, not colliding with Him. Those of us, some of you will laugh at me because I'm younger than you are, but those of us who are growing old in age, we see more clearly the troubles of this world. And perhaps we wait more eagerly for it. But all of us, in every situation, in all our urgency, we wait for the Lord because His strength alone is able to carry us through His plan. His strength alone is able to carry us and will carry us through His plan, even the very plan for the very thing that is so urgent right now. Because youths, they'll faint and grow weary. Young men, they'll fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, and they will rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, our God, our troubles and our difficulties, the things that are urgent in our life, often they really are urgent. And they are time sensitive. We feel like now, and it's hard to get through them. And we need Your strength. Because we're exhausted and we're falling down. And we're weary. Teach us to wait for You. To trust You as the great, glorious God of providence who is a master at His planning. And comfort us, O Lord, we pray in this. In Jesus' name, amen.